There's growing fury in Palestine after Britain's Home Secretary says she's banning Hamas. Until now, the UK had only blacklisted Hamas's military wing. The group says the move is biased toward Israel, while the Israeli Prime Minister welcomed the decision. But what will the implications be? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. The United Kingdom is on the cusp of designating all of Hamas as a terrorist organization. It comes as UK Home Secretary Priti Patel, who will present the change to Parliament in the coming days, says there is no way in distinguishing between Hamas's political and military branches. If approved, the move would not only hinder the group, but affect people in Gaza who rely on social welfare programs that Hamas manages. Hamas is already designated a terrorist group by the European Union, the United States, and Canada. Various Palestinian factions have banded together to condemn the UK's push for the ban on Hamas.
We condemn the unjust British decision to consider Hamas a terrorist organization and affirm that it's a political decision and a continuation of the flagrant aggression against our people and its resistance. The British decision aims to gain the approval of the Zionist lobby in light of the escalation and growth of popular support in many European countries for our Palestinian people and their right to resist the occupation.
We have a lot to unpack with our panel of guests, but first, this report by Yumna Sayed in Gaza.
Reactions continued against the British government's decision considering Hamas a terrorist movement. Hamas issued a statement denouncing the decision and saying that the British Home Secretary Priti Patel's decision is a support of the aggressors at the expense of the victims. While Prime Minister Mohamed Ishtiya rejected the British decision to classify Hamas as a terrorist movement and considered it a motive to criminalize the Palestinian people's struggle to liberate from occupation and establish their independent state with Jerusalem or East Jerusalem as its capital. For its part, the Palestinian embassy in the United Kingdom condemned the British government's decision and considered it a dangerous alignment with the agenda of the occupying power, which seeks to criminalize the struggle of the Palestinian people as a whole and kill the chance of establishing a two-state solution. These reactions all came after the British Home Secretary, Priti Patel, had announced that she had submitted an order to the British Parliament on Friday to amend Chapter 2 of the Terrorism Act 2000 to ban the entire Hamas movement, including its political wing. Yumna Sayed, Gaza, for Inside Story.
All right, let's bring in our guests in West Jerusalem, Anna Hertzberg. She's the legal advisor of NGO Monitor. In London, Roxanne Farman Farmayan is lecturer on international relations of the Middle East at the University of Cambridge. In Ramallah, Mustafa Barghouti is a Palestinian politician and secretary general of the Palestinian National Initiative. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks for joining us today on Inside Story. Roxanne Farman Farmayan, let me start with you. Why is this designation happening now?
Well, it follows after a push by the Prime Minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett, to condemn terrorist organizations generally. He has been part of a closure of six major human rights NGOs in Israel. And had put in actually a personal statement to Johnson, Prime Minister Johnson, up in Glasgow during the COP26, asking him if it would be something he would consider doing. So we had quite a bit of lead up to this, and that's very much why it's happened now.
Anna Hertzberg, from your vantage point, what message does this action send?
I think it's a very important message. Also, I would just quibble a bit with the last speaker. This is something I believe that's been in the works with the UK government for quite a long time. You know, I think it's actually a fallacy to consider military and political wings separate. The political wing is integral in helping the military wing of terrorist organizations. We see the same thing with Hezbollah. And that's why there's also been a move across Europe to really designate all of Hezbollah, all of Hamas as terrorist organizations. So this is a important move, and it is a trend that hopefully we'll be seeing more across the board more often.
Mustafa Barghouti, the Palestinian embassy to the UK condemned this move to designate Hamas a terrorist group. They say the UK government has complicated Palestinian unity efforts and undermined Palestinian democracy. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. More than that, I think what you see here is Mr. Boris Johnson and his government are subjecting themselves to the dictation of Naftali Bennett and the Israeli government, which is clearly deciding this policy. And what you see here is an act of trying to dehumanize Palestinians completely. If Palestinians conduct what is allowed by international law, this is called terrorism. If they conduct popular nonviolent resistance, they claim it's violence. If they protest against Israeli policies of occupation and apartheid, then they call it aggravation of violence. And if even a Jewish person criticizes the Israeli government for its policy of occupation and apartheid, they call him or her a self-hating Jew. I think this is a policy that is reflecting a long-term act of occupation, which is illegal, a long-term and continuous and growing system of apartheid and discrimination against the Palestinian people. And this whole policy of Naftali Bennett and those who support him is about denying Palestinians the right to struggle for their rights, denying them the right to struggle for international law, denying them the right to struggle for equality. And this is totally unacceptable. I don't know why they don't call Israeli acts as terror. We know that Israeli army is killing Palestinians. They are occupying us since 54 years. They have created the worst system of apartheid since South African apartheid. And the Western governments should impose sanctions on Israel for doing these policies rather than punishing the Palestinians.
And Hertzberg, it looked to me like you were reacting to some of what Mustafa Barghouti was saying. Did you want to jump in?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I find it quite interesting that he thinks it's part of international law to target civilians, which is what Hamas does. Just this morning, a Hamas operative shot and injured and murdered, shot four people. One of them died this morning, praying at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. So I hardly see that as part of a human rights struggle that Mr. Barghouti is speaking about. And of course, last May, we had Hamas shoot over 4,000 rockets on Israeli population centers during 11 days of the conflict.
How many
and
Palestinians
so
were
that,
killed
that
by
is
Israel?
Not, that is not legal
thousands
under international law and should
Israel.
Not be part of any human rights struggle. And I find that quite disturbing. That if
I want,
to
I want your speaker.
Sure.
That he
well,
thinks that's okay.
Mustafa Barghouti, let me get to you in just one moment. I just want to ask Roxanne Farman-Farmayan here one other question in the interim. The statement, I want to go back to the statement from the Palestinian embassy to the United Kingdom, because it also described this move to designate Hamas a terrorist organization as a, quote, retrograde step that will make peacemaking harder and diminish the UK's role. From your perspective, is that accurate? Does this make peacemaking harder and does it diminish the UK's role?
Well, I think the UK has got a different view on this in that it's a very pro-Israeli government. And in fact, the Home Office, the Home Minister, Priti Patel, who is making this, has made the statement on the part of the government and will be bringing it to Parliament. Of course, it won't get passed until the Parliament agrees to this. But we have to look at this against the background. She had gone several years ago under the May government when she was head head of international development as the minister and had spoken with various members of the Netanyahu government, but unofficially. And that is against the British law. So when she returned, she was sacked. But she is very clearly a very pro-Israeli politician, as is Boris Johnson. And they have made it very clear that they feel they need to catch up with what the EU has done and have therefore designated the political wing as well as the military wing as terrorist. And I think they have also gone a step further to say that they will be presenting the Israeli views to the other great powers in the course of the negotiations for the Iran nuclear deal that have just begun again. So we see that from the British government's perspective, that it is going in a direction that has indeed been going for some time. I completely agree with that. And we have to see this against the background of the anti-Semitic political atmosphere that condemned the Labour Party for actions that it has now changed very significantly on. So the overall view from the British capital today is that what they are doing is joining a larger Western alliance that is more pro-Israeli. I personally would agree with that it makes for negotiations more difficult, but that is not the representation of the government that I see here.
Mustafa Berhouti, I know you wanted to jump in before and respond to Anne Herzberg. Please go ahead.
Well, first of all, this is also an act against democracy, that's for sure, because it is like denying Palestinians the right to choose who they represent, who should represent them. And Hamas is one of the political parties here that participate in political life. So it's like us saying British people do not have the right to choose conservatives or elect conservatives to their parliament. I still hope that the British parliament will not approve this move from the side of the interior minister. We know that Johnson represents the same policies that Trump represented. I know that millions of British people are against this policy. And definitely there is a huge group in Labour Party that is against this policy. This way, the way they use try to declare that people are anti-Semitic is nothing but a way of trying to frighten people from criticizing Israel for its violation of international law. Let us remember the basic facts. The basic fact is that who is occupying whom? Israel is occupying us. We are not occupying Israel. Who is putting 640 military checkpoints in the occupied territory? It's Israel. Who is conducting a system of apartheid and discrimination against the Palestinian people? It is Israel. Your guest spoke about attacking civilians. Who is killed among civilians? It's Palestinians. During the last attacks on Gaza, Israel killed more than 4,000 people, including in the last war on Gaza, they killed 169 Palestinian children. 169 Palestinian children. Israel is conducting a policy of aggression. Israel is conducting a policy of occupation. Israel is conducting a policy of apartheid. If they want peace, they would have agreed to the two-state solution. But this Israeli government is declaring that there is no place for Palestinian state. There is no place for Palestinian freedom. There is even no place for negotiations. So what do they want? I mean, this is an extreme government. And by the way, NGO Monitor is nothing but an instrument that is helping the Israeli government and its security establishment. Their attacks on human rights organizations are unbelievable, as if Palestinians don't have the right to defend their human rights, as if Palestinians are not entitled to practicing democracy, as if Palestinians are not entitled to struggle for their freedom. And this is unacceptable, and it will not last. Let me tell you that I am sure that the majority of human beings in this world, the majority of people, including the majority of votes in the United Nations, are supporting the Palestinian rights, which are totally compatible with international law. The side, the country that is violating international law is Israel, its army, its intelligence services, and that is unacceptable.
Anne Hertzberg, Roxanne Farman-Farmayan a few moments ago brought up Iran, and I want to ask you about that, because there are analysts who posit that the leaders of Israel and the UK have stepped up the relationship between both countries as a way to deal with Iran or focus on Iran nuclear negotiations. Do you believe that that's a factor at play?
It's definitely possibly a factor. I mean, when you look at Hamas and Hezbollah, those are Iranian proxies in the region. And so I think that is something that is probably on their minds, but also it does bring, you know, it makes peace more likely in the region when you can disarm Hezbollah and Hamas that are acting as extra military actors. Hezbollah's case, it's basically taken over southern Lebanon, and Hamas, as we all know, has taken over Gaza. And I don't think that reflects the will of either the Lebanese people or the Palestinian people, in contrast to the propaganda that was just spouted by Mr. Barghouti. And so I do think that is something that
I think you are the one who is conducting the Zionist propaganda, Mademoiselle. You are conducting Zionist propaganda.
And I'm not conducting any propaganda. And I just wanted to clarify the record when he was
and
talking
clearly
about the two-state
solution.
I believe it was the Palestinians that Well, I didn't interrupt you when you were going off for quite a long time, so I would appreciate you don't do the same for me.
Go ahead, Anne Hertzberg. Go ahead.
And so, I would take issue at many of the things that the guest previously said on the facts. And frankly, when we look at the casualties that have been happening in Gaza, pretty much all of them can be attributed to Hamas, because Hamas embeds rocket and other terror infrastructure within civilian areas that endangers the entire population in Gaza. And it would be quite more of a human rights approach for Mr. Barghouti
to look
at those activities.
And claim that we are responsible for our own death?
All right,
that's unacceptable.
Roxanne Farman-Farmayan, let me get to you right now, because earlier you brought up the Labour Party in the UK, and I want to talk about that for a moment, because traditionally the more left-wing members of Britain's Labour Party have been strong supporters of the Palestinian cause. And there are, as we know, deep divisions within the Labour Party. What kind of impact is all of this going to have going forward?
Well, I think the Labour Party itself has undergone quite a huge change, and it's definitely no longer the party of Jeremy Corbyn, who was very strongly pro-Palestinian, or at least pro the idea of giving them the rights of the debate here. And I think that proved to be very, very problematic for the Labour Party. And under Sir Keir Starmer, they have undergone a quite deep cleansing and set of choices in order to prioritize the Jewish community within the party, and it has been well received here. And so I think there's going to be much less ramification of this in terms of how the Labour Party itself will support it. In fact, I think they've already come out saying that they will support this. And just to follow up on the ramifications, because the Terrorism Act in this country means that any support for groups that have been designated as terrorists do have consequences for those that are promoting that support. So this will affect any kind of fundraising that may have been going on in the country for Hamas. It will certainly mean that there will no longer be any kinds of meetings or any kind of coverage for Hamas speaking positively about it. And in fact, it affects us as lecturers and teachers. And there's already been quite a bit of difficulty about our right to self-expression across several other areas in this country. And this is definitely going to add to that as an issue, because if one does speak out or support or fund a group that's been designated as terrorist, then we are liable for up to 10 years of prison. And that, I would say, would be putting quite a bit of pressure on the Palestinian community here, which is officially about 5,000 people, because it will mean that they will not be able to speak freely about this issue anymore.
Yeah, Roxanne, we are starting to run out of time, so I'm going to ask you to please keep your answer to this brief. But because you mentioned the fact that there are these penalties, do you anticipate that there will be more prosecutions going forward? We know that, you know, it is said that now people who support Hamas may get up to 14 years in prison. That's one of the penalties. Do you think that more people will be prosecuted going forward?
We'll have to see. The difficulty about a terrorism law is that it is very difficult. It doesn't have a whole lot of leeway. And so I think people will have to self-censor or alternatively find different ways if they feel that it is important to do this. It must be said that it has not passed Parliament yet, and I think we need to wait and see how much support it gets and what the discourse is around that to see where the legal situation will come down onto.
Mustafa Barghouti, what kind of impact does this have going forward when it comes to the prospects of Palestinian unity? I mean, what kind of challenges does this add to that?
First of all, it's an act against unity. It's an act to prevent Palestinians from getting unified on democratic basis, where we would have free democratic elections and all Palestinian parties could run in these elections. And as you know, we are also struggling for internal democracy. And we were against the decision of the authority to cancel elections. So in my opinion, this is an act against democracy and an act against Palestinian unity, which is exactly what the Israeli occupation wants. But let me say something. We have to put these acts into a general context. And the general context is to try to criminalize the victim, criminalize the Palestinians who are struggling for their freedom. And I found it really disturbing when one of your guests is saying that you can kill Palestinians and then claim they are responsible for their own death. This is the utmost dehumanization of any human being. It's like, it reminds me of those criminals who rape women and then claim that women are responsible for being raped. It's exactly the same. And I think this is totally unacceptable. If your guest had the minimum of feeling of justice, they would recognize that no people in the world should be kept under Israeli or any military occupation. They would recognize the right of Palestinians for freedom, for self-determination. Before there was Hamas, there were many political Palestinian parties that tried to reach peace agreements with Israel, and Israel refused. Israel is the one that destroyed Oslo Agreement. Israel is the one that is refusing to negotiate. Israel is the one that is not accepting any Palestinian leader. You said I shouldn't interrupt you, so don't interrupt me. Israel is the one that is refusing peace. Israel is the one that is refusing all United Nations resolutions. Israel is the criminal in this case. And the very fact that they are the ones who are occupying us for life is totally unacceptable. I grew up all my adult life under occupation. I am entitled to freedom.
Mustafa Barghouti, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we've only got about a moment left. I do want to ask Anne Herzberg one last thing here. How big a win is this for Naftali Bennett? Does this have an impact on him politically?
I mean, I think it's very good for Naftali Bennett. I think it's not even necessarily a win for him per se, but for people around the world who are trying to put an end to terrorism and support for terrorism and promoting UN Resolution 1373 under Chapter 7 of the Security Council, ending all direct and indirect support for terrorism. So I consider it a win for anyone who actually does care about human rights and care about democracy.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Anne Herzberg, Roxanne Farman-Farmayan, and Mustafa Barghouti. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.